This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Barsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Race Week.
Yeah, baby. Year 11.
Austin, Texas, baby.
A special Sunday night with Speed City because we've got the Formula One circus coming to town. Some of them are already here, Jonathan.
What, you think they wanted to stay in Qatar for a long extended trip? They would. No, they came to Austin, of course.
Yeah, I guarantee you they're sneakily running around town right now. I remember back in 2012 or 13, I was walking down 2nd Street right in the heart of downtown. And one of the outdoor restaurants, Italian restaurants, was Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, I think, were sitting there and people just walking by. No one had any idea who they were. It was crazy.
Cool. Yeah,
it was crazy.
I like that.
Well, this is John Massengill. That's Jonathan Green with the British voice on the other side of the table. But we have an in-studio guest tonight. We got a great show tonight, guys. We have two guests. We have our in-studio guest and we have Riley Dickinson joining us. And he is the, go ahead, Jonathan, you had it.
No.
He is this year's champion of the Porsche Deluxe Carrera Cup and just decimated the field in that.
Yeah, totally.
And so he's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes as well. And of course, we've got all the Formula One talk you can stand because we're going to be getting you ready for the USGP this weekend. We got a radio broadcast this weekend, so stay tuned for all the details. But Jonathan, you want to introduce our guest?
Yes. So the theme tonight is our Austin success stories from COTA.
Brilliant.
And Riley Dickinson is one. He's from New Braunfels. And Ryan Sheehan, who, of course, went to the Circuit of the Americas as a little nipper and fell in love. And he's been about, he's on the cusp of winning his first national title, potentially. Ryan. He's got some work to do before that.
Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Ryan, welcome
back to the show. You've been here many times.
Ryan is currently in the FR Championship, FR Americas. So we were with him in VIR just a couple of weeks ago, and it looked as though it was all going south. But the guy leading the championship, his teammate, funnily enough, Callum Hedge of New Zealand, conked out.
Well, that's a good
actually,
old...
Conked out, yeah.
Conked out. I used to use that as a kid.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing. It's like schmozzle, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, he broke his...
I don't really know, but go ahead.
David Hobbs.
Okay, yeah.
He broke his suspension while leading the race. And in fact, both he and Ryan had a spin at the same corner. And so it was a very traumatic and dramatic weekend. For a fan and for a commentator, it was great. Ryan probably loved it and hated it. But it was a tough weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of the most entertaining weekends this year.
I'll give you that.
I mean, VIR is always great to go to. Just the scenery and the track itself is amazing. But yeah, it was a lot of drama.
Here's the difference. What's interesting about this is Callum Hedge, to be fair to Ryan, has dominated this championship. He's won 11 races.
something like that.
Well, wait a minute. Haven't you come in first or second?
Well, that was almost. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
God, don't jump the willy doo.
Well, I was trying to defend our guest.
Unlike Perez, who also has been having a tough time with his teammate, this man has kept in the chase.
Yes.
And kept, more importantly, consistently scoring and scoring and scoring. And therefore, we come to the final race here, November 5th at COTA, with the championship still very much alive. And so it's been a fascinating year of tenacity. Is that the fairest way of putting it?
Yeah, I think so.
Tough year. Callum Hedge also coming from New Zealand, and the championship they both were in New Zealand. And so I feel like I've spent a lot of the year with Ryan.
Look at these stats. You two guys have either been first or second every single race except for you twice. You just once, Ryan, it looks like, right?
No, two wins.
No, either first or second.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because 18 points a second, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've only had one weekend. Oh, wait, there's a 15, so two weekends, and the same for Callum. Two weekends. They've won or first or second every race. This is a crazy battle. Yeah. Awesome.
He could
still win, Ryan. You could still win the championship.
And by the way, look at the prize. If either one of those men, the one alongside us here, wins the championship, they are going to get a scholarship from Honda to go to Japan in Super Formula and potentially join Lawson, Gasly, and all those that have gone before, so to speak. So hell of a prize. But of course, to be fair, world's your oyster. You can take the money or you can play again, as they say. But you could. There's a lot. I mean, to be honest, it really does. Winning an FR championship or being runner-up in an FR championship opens the world of single-seaters up to you. And in fact, it opens the world of motor racing, full stop. And I remember as a 15-year-old, you came in here and you said, I just want to drive. Because you said, I want to be in Formula One, like, you know, you should want have that aspiration. But you also said, you know what, I just want to drive professionally. And you're very close to doing that.
Yeah, it's been a big year of growth for me. Obviously, racing internationally for the first time in New Zealand and then coming back here to race in FR Americas. But, I mean, I think just the growth between New Zealand and then coming back here has been massive. So I think whatever I end up doing next year will be really good.
I think the other thing that impresses me, because obviously I've commentated on his races, and like you say, those two, the two Crosslink Kiwi. In fact, there's another one. Cooper Becklin got his first win at VIR as well, and he's had a good year. And will probably come home. Well, will come home third probably. But what's impressed me is what Ryan is doing outside of the car. Yes, he's doing the business, scoring the points. But he's the only racing driver I've ever met who's managed to literally build a business before the age of 18. I don't know how you've done it, but I guess it's your fresh face look, because the sponsors have come to you, haven't they? You've got to tell us a little bit about how you've gone about getting to pay for this. Because your dad's not Lawrence Stroll, is he?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm not the son of a billionaire, unfortunately. No. But racing is, until you really get to F1, and even some drivers, when they get to F1, they're still paying for their seat. And so it's unlike other sports where you can maybe get a scholarship or get picked up, you pretty much have to pay for your seat all the way up until the top flight. And so I've had to work extra hard just to, you know, go out, find sponsors, meet people. I was going to Austin Chamber of Commerce events at 16. So it's been tough. I'm not a super extroverted person, and so I'm not good at going out and, you know, introducing myself and saying, hey, do you want to give me, you know, $500,000 to go do this? But I've kind of gotten over that and just realized that they're just people. And so I can go and ask. And if they say no, they're not going to hate me for life. They're just going to say, no, we're not interested. Mm. Move on.
But also, I think because of your age, I think it is impressive to stand in front of a bunch of adults as say that you're looking at big money. And for them to take you seriously too, because, you know, as you say, I find it the one side of motor racing that I just can't fathom how people do it. I can't, you know, it's just one of those things. I think it's a very hard thing to do. Sell yourself and be asking for big money and trust in that money when you really don't. You have no guarantees. You can't say, yeah, I'm going to win all these races and all the rest of it. It's tough. It's really tough. But he's a fine example of exactly what a modern motor racing guy in single seaters has to do.
Well, and I love the way you've come up through with the perfect prototype path. You got in karting, you went to F4, you've gone to New Zealand, you're in F3 now. I mean, it's the ideal path if you want to go to Formula One, right? You're following the FIA path. Mm. So I think it's fantastic. And you've clearly made big steps at each level, right? I mean, I remember when you were going to F4, you were wide-eyed. You were like, I have no idea what to expect, a real car coming from karting. That was and you did not take long at all to jump right into that. That was awesome.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times an American driver like Logan Sargeant, for example, they'll be in Europe from karting on and just do the entire European path. That costs a lot of money, and so we've tried to follow the American path as long as possible, so that we can, I can stay here. I've lived here my whole life, so I can stay in Austin, travel around the U.S. for the Formula 4 and then the Formula Regional races this year. And next year is kind of where you probably have to go to Europe or choose a path, and so we'll just kind of see where we end up.
Yeah. Where would you like to be?
I mean, if I had an unlimited budget, I'd end up somewhere in Europe, but we'll have to see how we do with sponsors in the off season.
And and just so those who don't know, the regular sort of ladder to FIA is starting off karting, getting into F4, doing a year of F4. Most championships learn a year, win a year, and that's kind of where Ryan's been. And FR is the next stage, which is Formula 3 internationally, but we call it Formula Regional, which is a strange name, but there you go. And then the next step after that, if you want to go down the single-seater path, is to a big championship in Europe, either Formula Open, I think it's called, or FIA F3, which is the big international one, which is, of course, with Formula 1. So they race at the same weekends, and, of course, that's where Jack Crawford, Liam Lawson, and many others have come through over the years, and Logan Sargeant.
I just love the fact you've gone to New Zealand, too, because that's a fantastic place. How was that, by the way? Have you talked about that? Just a 30-second version of, was that intimidating?
Oh, we could bore you for hours.
Well, I know that's a big deal, but, I mean, that was pretty intimidating, wasn't it?
I mean, Johnny Green was there, so it's hard to not have fun.
mayhem!
Yeah, it's 5 races in 5 weeks, and so it's just back to back to back, and so it's
time to get nervous.
Yeah, it's physically challenging. I had one day of testing in a similar car. It wasn't the exact car, but it was another Formula Regional car.
One whole day.
About 4 or 5 sessions.
Was that in Dallas before you left?
Yeah, an hour or two total. And then flying to New Zealand and doing 5 weeks in a row. But
it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And I actually warned him before. I was like, it's a mental, as much as a physical challenge, it's a huge mental challenge because you're in debriefs all day long. Yeah. And then you're thinking about the next race as soon as you finished on Sunday.
All right. Well, we're going to have some more discussions, and we're going to get Ryan's take on some Formula One questions. We're going to put him in the hot seat a little bit, too. And we're also going to do the same thing with our next guest, Riley Dickinson, who's going to join us right after this break. Listen to Sunday Night with Speed City back after this.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City Live every Sunday night. And I'm going to let you introduce our guest, Jonathan, because I was feeling a little sick this week. Jonathan texted me Thursday and said, don't worry about the show. I got guests. I got everything. So I'll let you introduce everyone.
Well, Riley Dickinson is joining us via Zoom. Welcome. He is the new champion of Carrera Cup North America. And he wrapped it up, 3 years ago? No, a few races ago. Riley, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on. It's been too long.
It has been too long. And here in the studio, we have Ryan Sheehan, who is currently fighting for the title of FR, Regional Americas. And he's fighting against his teammate, Callum Hedge, in the Crosslink Kiwi team. It's been a great season. I've been privileged enough to do some commentary on it. But I've also, at Miami, seen Mr. Dickinson in action. And very impressed.
Right outside our window, our comms booth in Miami.
Yep. And Riley, just let's start. The theme of the evening is we want to celebrate our local success. We've had the Circuit of the Americas for 10 years now. We go into the 11th next weekend. And these two, I'm sure, one from New Braunfels, one from Horseshoe Bay, or at least Austin, Texas, have been inspired by what's happened at COTA. Riley, first and foremost, tell us a little bit about where you're from, because you're a New Braunfels boy, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. So hometown, local, from New Braunfels, Texas. For those who may not know, it's about 45 minutes south from COTA. So technically, COTA is my home track, right? And obviously, we'll be there this weekend in support for the Formula One Grand Prix. And it's going to be a really, really cool experience for myself, as well as other drivers and teams. But it's going to be extra special for me just because of it being that home race. And also with my main personal partner being Porsche Austin as well, it's going to be really, really fun to have those guys out there, and going to be extremely fun to get out there in front of the hometown crowd.
And man, Riley, you spent a ton of time on COTA. I know you were back when you were with More Speed and others. You've spent a lot of time on COTA in several different iterations of 911, haven't you?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. You could definitely say I have a lap or two out there. dot one cup car, dot two cup car, now the 992 iteration of the cup car. And hopefully we'll see if it's into the dot two of 992 as well. But definitely. It's a great track. It's great fun. I mean, I feel like for the cup cars, you guys will see it very well this weekend, of course. I feel like the cup cars, they race at COTA extremely, extremely well. We see from the F1 race always time and time again that it's always a very exciting race for the fans to watch. But I feel like that the cup car racing there is next level. There's always battles on track, always something happening. For us, it's a sprint race. It's only 40 minutes long. So for us, it's going to be intense the whole way through. And Yeah, it's going to be a quite enjoyable experience, I think, for the fans.
Man, I've heard nothing good about the new version of the Cup car, man. I saw one. Actually, I think I saw the car you were going to drive 1 year, a couple of years ago, when they went from one generation to the next. But this one is just next level. I mean, apparently just reliable and stable, and I mean, you name it.
And Ryan, you've got go ahead, Riley.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to say, I mean, just from generation of the 991 now up into the 992, just, you know, real quickly, there's been a lot that Porsche Motorsport has done just to optimize the performance of the car, you know, namely the double wishbone front suspension. Of course, there's been a lot of aero developments on the car as well. You can see that visually just looking at the car between the two. But it's a phenomenal car. I mean, it's very much a factory built race car, just like all the Cup cars are. But this is definitely the top of the line. It definitely makes us wonder, as you know, from the team side, what are they going to do for the Dot 2 whenever it comes out potentially in 2025 for us in the North American market? We're definitely interested to see how they up the game, because it's already a pretty high bar that they've set.
Now, there is a connection, am I right, between you and Riley? What is it?
Yeah, I actually bought my very first go-kart from him and his family.
good move.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
I believe we call that one Johnny Cash, right, Ryan?
Yeah, all black.
All black.
Tough. Yeah. It was, I think we took it to the chassis table for the first time after like 2 years of driving it, and it was like a mill off. It was made of
pig iron.
It was insane. Yeah, 1 mil off.
Is that bad?
No, like 1 millimeter.
1 millimeter.
A little bit.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you looked after it, Riley.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to. I can. That 1 mil probably came from Ryan, not from me.
Oh, total racing drivers on tonight, haven't we?
That is so great.
Hey, listen, I was just describing Ryan's trajectory, if you will. He's already been to New Zealand internationally and planning, you know, to do something in Europe if he can. What's next for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, ideally, in the best case scenario for me right now, so right now I'm on what's called the Porsche Motorsport North America ladder system, so to speak. It's kind of like a pyramid system that they've set up in-house in the North American continent, very similar to what they've done in other regions across the world. But so right now, you start out in what's called the Porsche Sprint Challenge, which is the lower level series. It's more of a development type series for young drivers to come in and really, you know, gain some information, some knowledge of Porsche, whether it be in a GT4 or a GT3 Cup machinery. And then once you do well in this Porsche Sprint Challenge, then you move up into Carrera Cup. Carrera Cup, that's where I am right now. Unfortunately enough, we were able to win the championship this year. Still, honestly, pinching myself a bit for that one. But so then ultimately the next step for me, it's hopefully, knock on wood, to be in the WeatherTech Championship, the IMSA Sports Car WeatherTech Championship. That's ultimately what will most likely happen next year. This is going to be through Porsche as well. They have what's called the Porsche Selected Driver Program for here in North America. It's essentially your first step on the ladder into a factory role within the manufacturer, which is very, very special for me. It's not anything official yet, but unofficially, that's most likely what will, you know, take place for me next year, and ultimately, hopefully, for seasons on end after that. And then, yeah, I mean, in 3 to 5 years, the dream for me is ultimately to become the next American factory driver for Porsche, following in the footsteps of Hurley Haywood and Patrick Long. He's the most recent American factory driver for Porsche. And for me, it would definitely be a dream come true to follow in his footsteps. Definitely would not say to replace Patrick Long, just because he's been such an icon and such a brand ambassador for Porsche. It's going to be very hard to replace him. Doesn't matter who you are. But ultimately to, you know, go into that next level as the next American factory driver for Porsche, that's the dream for me. That's what I'm working towards. And I guess time will tell on whether or not that's going to become a reality.
Well, Ryan, that is, I when I think of a
Riley,
excuse me.
That's Ryan.
Both R's tonight, Riley. I think
1 millimeter that, difference.
Is a factory Porsche driver that just has a prestige that, I mean, that is way up there. I mean,
that's what you tell yourself when you leave the parking lot, isn't it?
Exactly. But thinking about of all the things you can become as a race driver, you know,
oh yeah,
a Formula One driver, an IndyCar driver, But a factory Porsche driver, you know, that
factory any driver.
Factory any, but factory Porsche, that's like Ferrari, factory Porsche. That, to me, that's the top two. And let's make sure we say where Riley is in this year. Riley, how many races ago did you wrap up the championship? You have literally decimated the field.
Yeah, so I won't comment on decimation being the adjective, so we won the championship with four races left in the season. So we had two at Laguna, at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, Rennsport Reunion 7, which is, for those who don't know, that's a huge event for Porsche Motorsport North America, and quite frankly, Porsche around the world. It's the largest meeting of Porsche really anywhere in the entire globe. So that was a very cool event for us. And then obviously we have COTA as a support series for F1 this weekend, but we were able to wrap it up at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which ironically enough was actually where I won my first race in Carrera Cup North America last year. Huh. So it was kind of a bit of a poetic storybook ending for me in a way. But we've definitely had a pretty good season. 9 out of 12 race wins up until that point. And then we added another podium at Laguna Seca. And, you know, obviously now going into COTA with a bit of a, hopefully a home field advantage, I guess you could say, definitely looking to make the most of it this weekend.
And you're with Kelly Moss, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. With Kelly Moss. Yeah. So they have an incredible storied history with Porsche. They have done some other, you know, forms of racing, you know, outside of Porsche, but namely, I would say 90-95% of what Kelly Moss is and has been for the past 30 years as a brand and as a company has been through Porsche. Right now they are hands down the forefront as far as Porsche customer racing teams in North America. So for me, just to be a small piece of their history throughout the years is something to be very proud of. And, I can't thank them enough for all their support this year. And also, quite frankly, last year as well. This is my second year with the team. And I can't say enough about them. They've been incredible to me in the past couple of years.
Riley, I got another question. Do you not qualify by being champion for the Michelin shootout?
Yes, I do. So technically, the champion doesn't automatically get the junior shootout selection. So for those who don't know, Porsche Carrera Cup, that's a name nomination that is basically worldwide, right? Yeah. There's at the moment 10 Carrera Cups. So you have, you know, Carrera Cup North America, Carrera Cup Asia, Carrera Cup Brazil, Carrera Cup France, et cetera, right? It's regionally based Carrera Cups. And essentially, Porsche Juniors and those specific Carrera Cups, it's all drivers below the age of 24 years at the end of the season. That's a bit of a tricky one because there's some drivers that start like 23 and a half years old and they get kicked out because they're too old by the end of the season, which I don't really think is entirely fair. But anyways, that's a whole nother topic. But the highest placing driver in the championship at the end of the year, that's technically a Porsche Junior within the Carrera Cup, they get nominated to go overseas in what's called the Porsche Junior Shootout. And the Junior Shootout, it's a three-day event, 2 days on track, I believe, 1 day just classroom and also, you know, fitness, diet, routine, and whatnot. Basically, yeah. They're testing you the entire time for 3 days. And out of the 10 juniors that are nominated, plus there's two wild cards from any other Porsche championship throughout the world, out of the 12 drivers that are selected, one will be named the official Porsche Junior for the next season after that in what's called the Porsche Mobile One Super Cup. And for F1, the world leading Porsche series that follows Formula One around the world. It hands down the highest level of competition for the one make pyramid that Porsche has developed. And it would definitely be a very big honor for me if I was able to, you know, let's say win that. Chances of that happening, though, aren't the highest for any North American driver, not just me personally, just simply because for us here in North America, we run ABS on our cars. All the cars, they don't have ABS, right? So it's a very big transition. Like you're walking on crutches for, you know, 3 years, and then all of a sudden, whenever your legs still don't work, they take them from you. And you're like, oh my, it's a completely different experience. I was fortunate enough last year to get the opportunity to go to do a guest start in the Porsche Mobile One Super Cup at Silverstone. Actually, that was a incredible experience for me. That was my first time racing over in Europe as well. But of course, without ABS, I was able to do a 1 day test, but oh my God, the car was completely different. Yeah. I started the morning thinking, okay, this is a cup car. I know what to do, right? Yeah. It's some track named Silverstone, but how hard can it be? Right. I was sadly mistaken.
Yeah. Ryan's laughing in the studio at you.
I look at the timing sheet. My teammate at the time, so I was with GP Elite, so Larry Tenvoord, he's the reigning champion or was the reigning champion of Super Cup. I look at the timing sheet and I'm 2.5 seconds off of this guy. Oh no. Like, this is not good. And again, for those who don't know, Super Cup, like, typically between 1st and 15th in qualifying, it's easily less than a second every single time. So, you know, ultimately in the afternoon, had to adjust a lot of things on how I was driving the car, the way I would get the car to rotate, the way I would obviously trail the nose in under braking, blah, blah, blah. And ultimately was able to fix that in the afternoon. It was only, you know, 4 or 5 tenths off, whatever. But long story short, it's a completely different dynamic as far as how you drive the car. So just because of that, Porsche Motorsport North America, again, has done a great job just realizing that, I guess, disadvantage that North American drivers have. And they actually put up a $40,000 credit at the end of the season to whoever gets nominated within the North American Championship to go do a non-ABS test, either in Europe or in the States, wherever they so choose, basically to put that dollar amount towards basically trying to get some more of an equal playing field between the drivers, right? So that's obviously a huge help. I'm actually planning on doing that the Tuesday after COTA up at Eagles Canyon for those listeners that are from Texas. So it'll be a nice little fun day of testing. But yeah, so, you know, overall, the junior shootout, it's a very, very big deal. And yeah, it's definitely going to happen for me later this year. We're excited about it.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in really quick. And when we come back, we'll have more from the Ryan and the Riley. You listen to Sunday Night with Speed City back after this. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstadt beer, fantastic. And most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's
beautiful.
Got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Allstadt Beer, Allstadt Beer.com. Allstadt Beer, Allstadt Beer.com.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. Your Sunday night with Speed City Race Week here in Austin. Formula One United States Grand Prix coming up. You can listen to our coverage right here on AM 1370. And you can hear the usual pre- and post-race show like we do on national radio. You can hear that local radio, and as well as our own race coverage, our own play-by-play. We do our own special coverage for Circuit of the Americas. Bob Barsha will be here. Of course, Dave O'Neill will be in studio with us. So Jonathan
Chris
will be...
Chris Medlin and the kids.
Yeah, Chris Medlin out in the paddock as usual. And Jonathan will be anchoring the booth, and we'll all be running around him and filling in when we need to, our guest tonight, we have Austinites, basically. Both of them live within about 30 miles. Ryan Sheehan.
Coda Babies. Racing.
Coda Babies. There you go. I like that. Ryan Sheehan in the FR, basically F3 America Series, and Riley Dickinson in the Porsche Deluxe Carrera Cup. And we had some questions coming through on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm loving the questions. This is good because it gives us a chance to learn more about both Ryan and Riley. But also, we can celebrate the fact that we've, you know, yes, we've had, what's his name? There's all sorts of... Austinites. I mean, Jeff Mosing, let's not forget. He'll be racing. He'll be racing in that Porsche Carrera.
Yeah, he's racing against Riley. Yeah.
He is. but, you know, there's plenty of great racing drivers that have come in the past. Willie T. Ribbs.
We've had Willie in studio not that long ago.
Not that many. Barry Bowes, my Trans Am Championship with the ASIO Data boys. I went past the ASIO Data factory the other day. These are the two youngsters that are coming up and have shone. And
not just coming up, but having a successful racing careers, both of these guys. So
I know Ryan's backstory. You went to COTA, and that's what... Well, tell us briefly how you got into motor race.
Yeah, I went to COTA in 2013. I watched some racing and... decided that that's what I wanted to do with my life.
And how old were you?
In 2013, I would have been 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Brilliant.
So I went to...
that was the first mistake your dad made then.
Yeah, exactly.
He took you to a race.
Buying tickets to that
race. Why didn't he take you to the golf course?
Thank God.
I don't know.
But you really did. You were hook, line, sinker. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. And so did research, looked up kart tracks around Austin.
Bought a kart off of the guy that you know.
Well, we actually went to Hill Country Kart Club first.
Yeah.
And we met people and we somehow found the Dickinsons. And I think he was moving up a class that year or recently. And he had, you know, karts that weren't, he wasn't able to use anymore. And so we bought our first.
Because Ryan, you're 18 and Riley is 21 right now.
Yeah. And Riley, what's your story? Do you come from a racing background or how did you fall in love with this sport?
No, so any at all like interactions with racing was not at all family oriented whatsoever. Completely on my own. I'm a bit of the weird kid in the family, I guess.
I think we're all in that club.
Yeah.
But no, so it's actually interesting how similar Ryan and I are, at least once we got to Hill Country Kart Club. But so for me, I've always had a strong passion and interest in racing ever since I can remember. Like my first memories of anything are watching NASCAR on the weekends with my dad, right? That was always kind of something that we did together. But anyway, so long story short, whenever I was 7 years old, you know, I was the kid that would try football, baseball, soccer, all different ball sports. And I'm way too unathletic for anything relating a ball, right? So I... thing I had was probably baseball, right? Admittedly, was an all-star first baseman, not even close. But what's funny enough, so the baseball fields in New Braunfels, they're right across the track from, guess where? Hill Country Kart Club.
Huh.
And so we were leaving the baseball fields. It was a playoff game. We lost. I was crying. I was so done with baseball, right? We passed by the kart track. Saturday Night Lights were on, right? They're having the go-karts out there doing their thing, whatever. I was like, I want to go do this instead. This looks like more fun, right? Because I never knew that there was a way for me to actually go race, for example, right? So day after that, we were able to go to Texas Karts, Tommy Muth up in San Antonio. We were able to find the local kart shop. That's who it was. Day after that, we ended up getting the kart. So that was, I guess, on Monday. Day after that, we're at the track on Tuesday. Quite literally how it happened. And I never picked up the baseball glove again. Immediately fell in love with it.
News bears. I love it.
Bad news. Yeah. And similar to Ryan, whenever we went out there, I guess on that Sunday, along with Tommy, met a lot of the people that were out there at the track, fell in love with just the family atmosphere that was out there as well. That was probably more my parents' side than anything else. They really enjoyed how family oriented everything was. It wasn't having, the baseball dads, the soccer moms all yelling and screaming at each other. Everyone was there to have fun, right? Ultimately, it does get competitive, don't get me wrong, but it was a much different environment than what we were used to. And yeah, we've all kind of fell in love with it. I more so than my parents did, I think. And here we are today.
It's interesting. I mentioned Jeff Mosing, but there's quietly been a big community of race fans here for a long time. And, people like yourself, John, who grew up here loving cars and car racing and so on and so forth. But now, guys,
in the 11 years,
S's, More Speed, Harris Hill. I mean, these, the fraternity is both large and friendly here in Texas. So if there's any dads out there listening and saying, you know what, my little Johnny wouldn't mind doing that, or my little Jennifer, the same thing. There really is opportunity out there. I'll throw the question to both of you guys. Ryan.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that I also played baseball for 5 years before I started karting, and then immediately dropped the glove and never picked it up again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think now there's way more resources, way more people. Mm.
And just, knowledge as well about what you're doing. That's the hard sell.
Just Texas karting in general has grown. It was already pretty big when I was coming through it in cadet karts, but it's massive now. They're streaming the regional races. There's people from Austin, Houston, Dallas. There's new tracks popping up. It's massive now.
Mm. And the industry, you talked about the race shops, but there's all sorts of other shops. There's like carbon fiber shops. There's wheel shops. There's all sorts of these. There's probably so many that I don't even know about. You know, my son working at S's, I'm familiar with some of those. But there's a whole new industry in Austin now. It's a race industry, and it's kind of quiet. Unless you're in it, you don't even know it's there. So, CODA's had a massive effect, not just on you kids, you know, coming up to
become race
drivers.
And also, I think this new turn 11 project that CODA are doing, which we'll hear more and more about, but it's coming to fruition. And this basically is Kondo's four year race car type thing, and it's a very high end. And basically, you have a Kondo at the Circuit of the Americas right by turn 11. You park your car or your Porsche, your ex Riley Dickinson Porsche, with a slight millimeter height change. But then you can do track days and so on and so forth. So it is growing. And I think that bodes well for the next Ryan, the next Riley coming up, looking to try and get sponsorship. You guys are pioneering. You guys are trailing, blazing the trails, so to speak.
Well, I know, Ryan, you guys you've been on track the same weekend as Formula One, but not this weekend. Y'all are on track 2 weeks later, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but Riley, you're going to be there this weekend, and obviously you've done this before, but do you get a little starstruck, or do you get into the paddock and rub shoulders with the F1 drivers?
Yeah. So, it's hard not to, right? Even though that it's our home track for both Ryan and I, I'm sure that whenever we do get the opportunity to go there on F1 weekend, it's a completely different experience. So it is very to not get starstruck. As far as rubbing elbows in the paddock, we're going to be off redheaded stepchild over in the support paddock. So not on paddock, but for example, whenever we're doing the track walk, I'm sure the F1 drivers and teams, they'll be out there doing their thing as well. Whenever we're able to go into pit lane for our sessions, we're going to be using the F1 pit lane, of course, on the front straightaway. So we'll be able to see some of the cars, some of the teams doing their work in between sessions and whatnot. And I will say, so for me, probably the highlight of my entire year, earlier this year, we were able to be again support series for F1, but at Miami earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And so
we were there.
For me, I was obviously fortunate enough to be able to go win both races, but the coolest part about the entire experience was after the first race, being up on the actual F1 podium and listening to American National Anthem playing on the F1.
Well,
it quite literally brought a tear to my eye. It was extremely special.
Well, Riley, yeah. that brings me to a question we asked Ryan before the show started, is that he has won plenty of races, but he's not been on the podium at COTA, right?
Yeah, never in 3 years of racing cars.
Riley, have you?
So I've only actually raced there twice. I raced there in 2019 for More Speed in the Radical Cup finale. I want to say we won the third race. So maybe.
Yeah, but this is a whole different ballgame. To be on the Formula One weekend, on the Formula One podium, in front of the Formula One 440,000 people, that would be cool.
It would be extremely cool, especially with it being, you know, like I already said, home track, with and as well as having my partner Porsche Austin there as well. Obviously, it's their home race. It would be very, very, very cool. We'll see if we can get it done this weekend.
All right, guys, let's get in our last break real quick. And when we come back, we'll have more with Ryan and Riley. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City. Back after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're gonna go at these boys with some fun F1 questions. It's not often we have two young race drivers, both of them from Austin, by the way. It's really cool. But I think I want to start, Riley, you brought it up during the break. Let's start kind of at the top of the food chain here as far as the drivers and what's going on. Max, speaking of decimated, right? Max has decimated his opponent in Checo Perez. And really, I can think back, I know the moment. It was when it was at Monaco when Checo just, it was just like he had a brain fart and went into the wall. And ever since then.
You can't say that on radio.
He has never recovered. And.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City Race Week here in Austin. Formula One United States Grand Prix coming up. You can listen to our coverage right here on AM 1370. And you can hear the usual pre- and post-race show like we do on national radio. You can hear that local radio, and as well as our own race coverage, our own play-by-play. We do our own special coverage for Circuit of the Americas. Bob Barsha will be here. Of course, Dave O'Neill will be in studio with us. So Jonathan
Chris
will be...
Chris Medlin and the kids.
Yeah, Chris Medlin out in the paddock as usual. And Jonathan will be anchoring the booth, and we'll all be running around him and filling in when we need to, but our guest tonight, we have Austinites, basically. Both of them live within about 30 miles. Ryan Sheehan.
Coda Babies.
Racing. Coda Babies. There you go. I like that. Ryan Sheehan in the FR, basically F3 America Series, and Riley Dickinson in the Porsche Deluxe Carrera Cup. And we had some questions coming through on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm loving the questions. This is good because it gives us a chance to learn more about both Ryan and Riley. But also, we can celebrate the fact that we've, you know, yes, we've had, you know, what's his name? There's all sorts of
Austinites.
I mean, Jeff Mosing, let's not forget. He'll be racing. He'll be racing in that Porsche Carrera
Cup. Yeah, he's racing against Riley. Yeah.
He is. but, you know, there's plenty of great racing drivers that have come in the past. Willie T. Ribbs.
Yeah, we've had Willie in studio not that long ago.
Not that many. Barry Bowes, my Trans Am Championship with the ASIO Data boys. I went past the ASIO Data factory the other day. These are the two youngsters that are coming up and have shone. And
not just coming up, but having a successful racing careers, both of these guys. So
I know Ryan's backstory. You went to COTA, and that's what – well, tell us briefly how you got into motor race.
Yeah, I went to COTA in 2013. Watched some racing and decided that that's what I wanted to do with my life.
And how old were you?
In 2013, I would have been 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Brilliant.
So I went to...
that was the first mistake your dad made then.
Yeah, exactly.
He took you to a race.
Buying tickets to that
Why
race.
Why didn't he take you to the golf course?
Thank God.
I don't know.
But you really did. You were hook, line, sinker. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. And so did research, looked up kart tracks around Austin.
Bought a kart off of a guy you know?
Well, we actually went to Hill Country Kart Club first.
Yeah.
And we met people, and we somehow found the Dickinsons. And I think he was moving up a class that year or recently. And he had, you know, karts that he wasn't able to use anymore. And so we bought our first.
Because, Ryan, you're 18 and Riley is 21 right now.
Set the and stage Riley, what's your story? Do you come from a racing background, or how did you fall in love with this sport?
No, so any at all like interactions with racing was not at all family oriented whatsoever. Completely on my own. I'm a bit of the weird kid in the family, I guess.
I think we're all in that club.
Yeah.
But no, so it's actually interesting how similar Ryan and I are, at least once we got to Hill Country Kart Club. But so for me, I've always had a strong passion and interest in racing ever since I can remember. Like my first memories of anything are watching NASCAR on the weekends with my dad, right? That was always kind of something that we did together. But anyway, so long story short, whenever I was 7 years old, you know, I was the kid that would try football, baseball, soccer, all different ball sports. And I'm way too unathletic for anything relating a ball, right? So I... thing I had was probably baseball, right? Admittedly, was an all-star first baseman, not even close. But what's funny enough, so the baseball fields in New Braunfels, they're right across the track from, guess where? Hill Country Kart Club. Huh. And so we were leaving the baseball fields. It was a playoff game. We lost. I was crying. I was so done with baseball, right? We passed by the kart track. Saturday Night Lights were on, right? They're having the go-karts out there doing their thing, whatever. I was like, I want to go do this instead. This looks like more fun, right? Because I never knew that there was a way for me to actually go race, for example, right? So day after that, we were able to go to Texas Karts, Tommy Muth up in San Antonio. We were able to find the local kart shop. That's who it was. Day after that, we ended up getting the kart. So that was, I guess, on Monday. Day after that, we're at the track on Tuesday. Quite literally how it happened. And I never picked up the baseball glove again. Immediately fell in love with it.
News bears. I love it.
Bad news. Yeah. Yeah. And similar to Ryan, whenever we went out there, I guess on that Sunday, along with Tommy, met a lot of the people that were out there at the track, fell in love with just the family atmosphere that was out there as well. That was probably more my parents' side than anything else. They really enjoyed how family oriented everything was. It wasn't having, you know, the baseball dads, the soccer moms, all like yelling and screaming at each other. Everyone was there to have fun, right? Ultimately, it does get competitive, don't get me wrong, but it was a much different environment than what we were used to. And yeah, we've all kind of fell in love with it. I more so than my parents did, I think. And here we are today.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I mentioned Jeff Mosing, but, you know, there's quietly been a big community of race fans here for a long time. And, you know, people like yourself, John, who grew up here loving cars and car racing and so on and so forth. But now, I mean, guys, S's, More Speed, Harris Hill. I mean, these, you know, the fraternity is both large and friendly here in Texas. So if there's any dads out there listening and saying, you know what, my little Johnny wouldn't mind doing that, or my little Jennifer, the same thing, you know, there really is opportunity out there. I mean, I'll throw the question to both of you guys. Ryan.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that I also played baseball for 5 years before I started karting and then immediately dropped the glove and never picked it up again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think now there's way more resources, way more people.
And knowledge as well about what you're doing. That's the hard sell.
Just Texas karting in general has grown. I mean, it was already pretty big when I was coming through it in cadet karts, but it's massive now. I mean, they're streaming the regional races. There's people from Austin, Houston, Dallas. There's new tracks popping up. It's massive now.
And the industry, you know, you talked about the race shops, but there's all sorts of other shops. There's like carbon fiber shops. There's wheel shops. There's all sorts of these. There's probably so many that I don't even know about. You know, my son working at S's, I'm familiar with some of those, but there's a whole new industry in Austin now. It's a race industry, and it's kind of quiet. Unless you're in it, you don't even know it's there. So, I mean, it COTA's had a massive effect, not just on you kids, you know, coming up to
become race
drivers.
And also, I think this new Turn 11 project that COTA are doing, which we'll hear more and more about, but it's coming to fruition. And this basically is Kondo's four-year race car type thing. And it's a very high end. And basically, you have a Kondo at the Circuit of the Americas right by Turn 11. You park your car or your Porsche, your ex-Riley Dickinson Porsche with a slight millimeter height change. But then you can do track days and so on and so forth. So it is growing. And I think that bodes well for the next Riley coming up, looking to try and get sponsorship. You guys are pioneering. You guys are trailing, blazing the trails, so to speak.
Well, I know, Ryan, you guys you've been on track the same weekend as Formula One, but not this weekend. Y'all are on track 2 weeks later, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but Riley, you're going to be there this weekend, and obviously you've done this before, but do you get a little starstruck, or do you, when you're, you know, do you get to get into the paddock and rub shoulders with the F1 drivers?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard not to, right? I mean, even though that it's our home track for both Ryan and I, I'm sure that whenever we do get the opportunity to go there on F1 weekend, it's a completely different experience. So yeah, it is very to not get starstruck. As far as rubbing elbows in the paddock, we're going to be off redheaded stepchild over in the support paddock. So not on paddock, but for example, like whenever we're doing the track walk, I'm sure the F1 drivers and teams, they'll be out there doing their thing as well. Whenever we're able to go into pit lane for our sessions, we're going to be using the F1 pit lane, of course, on the front straightaway. So we'll be able to see some of the cars, some of the teams doing their work in between sessions and whatnot. And I will say, so for me, probably the highlight of my entire year, earlier this year, we were able to be, again, support series for F1, but at Miami earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And so
we were there.
Yeah. For me, I was obviously fortunate enough to be able to go win both races, but the coolest part about the entire experience was after the first race, being up on the actual F1 podium and listening to American National Anthem playing on the F1.
It quite
literally brought a tear to my eye. I mean, it was extremely special.
Well, Riley, that brings me to a question we asked Ryan before the show started, is that he has won plenty of races, but he's not been on the podium at COTA, right?
Yeah, never in 3 years of racing cars.
Riley, have you?
So I've only actually raced there twice. I raced there in 2019 for More Speed and the Radical Cup finale. I want to say we've won the third race, so maybe.
Yeah, but this is a whole different ballgame. To be on the Formula One weekend, on the Formula One podium, in front of the Formula One 440,000 people, that would be cool.
It would be extremely cool, especially with it being, you know, like I already said, home track, and as well as having my partner Porsche Austin there as well. Obviously, it's their home race. It would be very, very, very cool. We'll see if we can get it done this weekend.
All right, guys, let's get in our last break real quick. And when we come back, we'll have more with Ryan and Riley. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City. Back after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're gonna go at these boys with some fun F1 questions. It's not often we have two young race drivers, both of them from Austin, by the way. It's really cool. But I think I want to start, Riley, you brought it up during the break. Let's start kind of at the top of the food chain here as far as the drivers and what's going on. Max, speaking of decimated, right? Max has decimated his opponent in Checo Perez. And really, I can think back, I know the moment. It was when it was at Monaco when Checo just, it was just like he had a brain fart and went into the wall. And ever since then.
You can't say that on radio.
He has never recovered. And Riley, I want to get your take on what has happened to him, and can he, you know, mentally get over this? And also, what do you do if you're the team next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty difficult one, I guess, to dive into. But I mean, if I had to guess, out of all the different, I guess, dynamics that are going on within that team, it's definitely, I mean, you already touched on it. I would say it's definitely mental. The mental side of this sport is so incredibly taxing, and it's stuff that you can't even ever see or explain or really even know by watching it on TV. I mean, to your point, up until Monaco, he was giving Max, I mean, arguably everything he could handle, right? I mean, they were going back and forth, and whether it was
1-2 races.
I mean, he was very, very good on the street courses. If I remember correctly, I think he won it at Baku as was one of them, I want to say. But anyways, if I had to guess, Red Bull, within their heart of hearts, I mean, obviously, yes. Do they want to go win the championship? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, they want to have two drivers that are both competing at the top. So at the end of the day, if they're able to go 1-2 in the driver's championship, then I think that's the ultimate goal for them. If Checo is able to hold up his end of the deal towards the end of the season, as far as the, you know, second place in the driver's championship, which I have no reason to believe otherwise that he would not be able to, I think he has a seat for next year. Also, you know, a good off-season reset would be nice for him. You know, everyone's going to need a few months off within the F1 crowd. It's nonstop every single weekend for them. I would say it's the main thing for it is just the mental piece. He just probably just needs to reset. I mean, he's obviously very, very talented. We saw it at the beginning of the season. I think he keeps the seat for next year.
You know, I think you've summed it up well there. He has to finish second. Hamilton. The only you say no reason why he can't. Well, the only reason is Lewis Hamilton, and Lewis Hamilton will be trying his darndest to beat him. But I agree with you. I think Red Bull have shown in the past with Albon, with Kvyat, with how many should we go through now with Lawson, that they are willing to drop you at a moment because they have the world at their feet and they can slot. They literally can slot a new driver in Liam Lawson straight into that seat. Hey, Daniel Ricciardo. You know, I mean, it you can see the path. So it's a tough one. Another tough one as two American drivers, Logan Sargeant. I like the guy, but you know the fickle world of Formula One. Both of you, also know just how tough it is. Certainly Ryan in single seaters, and Riley, you know, it's a tough game. What do you think on balance for the future of Logan Sargeant?
Ryan, let's go to you on that one first.
I think he just needs to keep it on track. I think crashing and going off is much, obviously it's much worse than being slow. But when you're racing for Williams, who don't have, you know, a $500 million crash budget, you have to, that's just even more true, is that you just have to keep it on track, and he's not really doing that.
And I think that was Mick Schumacher's demise, really, in the end, is that Haas just sort of said, look, we can't afford this loss.
I mean, even his team is telling him, just bring it home. You don't have to be, you know, on pace with Albon. He's much more experienced, so obviously he's going to be a bit quicker. But I think he's just pushing that little bit too hard, and he just keeps on hitting walls, which isn't really acceptable.
And you know, we've talked to James Vowles multiple times, and we've talked to him almost every week.
Chris Medlin has a really good relationship with him.
And he is, I mean, he is so upbeat about Logan every single time. And I heard a slight change in tone in the last one, but not really, not a fundamental change, almost like him admitting, okay, he's got to get this right. And I have seen the numbers, the crash numbers. There's somebody on Twitter doing something like the crash structure standings, and Logan
deconstruction.
Deconstruction.
He's at about 3.5 million.
Yeah.
But you know, funny enough, I was reminding myself of a young Max Verstappen who came in at 17 for Toro Rosso and didn't actually change the world. And I remember Christian Horner saying, "Yes, he's a diamond in the rough," and all this sort of stuff. And Sargeant is the opposite to that. Sargeant has. Yes, he's had problems, but he actually is he's much more the complete article than some of the young rookie drivers that have come in. I think of Yuki Tsunoda. I mean, to be honest, Yuki was hanging on by a thread after his first season because he was thrust in there by Honda. Now he's coming good, and I think he's well worth a bet on to stay for a long time, and they've just confirmed him, obviously, for next year. But Riley, you know, okay, what's your take on Logan? And if not Logan, who?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say anything more than what Ryan said, of course. You know, at the end of the day, in order to finish first, you have to first finish the race, right?
Yep.
It's obviously that's a bit of a harsh, I guess, comment, just because obviously, you know, all those drivers that are in F1 right now, they are clearly at the top of their game, at the top of the sport, right? So it's kind of, you know, kind of a tongue in cheek moment to criticize really any of them. Right. But you know, I feel like that Logan, again, it's probably a mental piece as well. Right. You know, him having those incidents and having, you know, just kind of that always chip on your shoulder type, I'm sure, aspect that's going on. I'm sure it's hard to get out of his head. You know, ultimately I think if he's able to finish out the balance of the season, again, proving that he deserves to be in that car, not necessarily doing anything particularly special, but just be consistently good, right? Just consistently finish the races, consistently log the laps, consistently prove that, you know, maybe he doesn't have to be faster than Albon every single race weekend, but at least just be close, at least give something beneficial to the team, which I think he is, by the way. I definitely feel like, though, if he's able to do that consistently for the remainder of the year, I don't see any reason as to why he would not be able to stay in that seat. And quite frankly, if you have someone do go and replace him, I don't know if there's a legitimate candidate on the American side of things to replace him. I keep on hearing, obviously, the name Colton Herta. That's really kind of the only one out there, I would say. Maybe there's another one. But, I mean, for Colton, like, he already has his home in IndyCar. You know, for him to step over the pond into F1, that would be a huge undertaking. You know, I really feel like Logan, he definitely has a home if he's able to finish it out strong this year, which I think he can.
Well, guys, we've just got about 3 minutes left. First, I just want to say how proud we are of both of you guys. Austin, young drivers coming up, just doing the business. I mean, you're both, Riley, you've wrapped up your championship.
Well, this is the part of the story we wanted to have happen.
Exactly. You know, when we started the show 11, 12 years ago.
Three things.
Yeah. We got the circuit now. You know, well, let's get an American team in Formula One, and let's get some American drivers.
And you guys have, you know, in your own paths,
yeah.
you know, you're still on the path, Ryan. We don't know where you're going to end up. And Riley, you know, you're further down the path. And I know your goal of Porsche factory driver, which is amazing.
But by the way, if Red McCombs or anybody else is listening, you want to go to Formula One, right? I mean, Riley, I don't worry about it. He's a factory Porsche driver. He's going to be at Le Mans, you know, with Dan Gurney, the ghost of Dan Gurney in about a year's time. But you're still on that path, right?
Yeah, Formula One is my
So if you've got a couple of bill out there, Texas, come on. Come on now.
That's
Ryan Sheehan, 66, FR. Let's get some money in here for this kid.
Yeah, maybe Joe Rogan or Elon Musk are listening on because they're
Sandra Bullock. Hey, you remember the movie about the football player? Let's do it again.
All right. Well, we just have about a couple minutes left. One thing I want to say is we do, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we have our broadcast this weekend, and we're going to be on the microphones out there. And if you are going to the race, always tweet at us because we're going to be watching Twitter. And so we can put you on the air, whatever comments. Yeah, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just going to say, also, for those of you who've got your tickets, Riley, what's your race number?
Number 53 for Kelly Moss.
There you go, 53
for
Kelly
Moss. Oh, the car,
man,
it's got a cool green stripe on it, right?
Yeah. Ryan Sheehan, I know, because I do his commentary on his races more often, and it's 66 for CrossLink Kiwi, right?
Yeah.
Are we in gold again?
Yeah, full gold.
I love it.
And, of course, you'll be in the car 2 weeks right after Formula One.
So that's November 5th for Ryan, and, of course, Circuit of the Americas, both events. That'll be November 3rd, 4th, and 5th for Ryan Sheehan. And, of course, Riley's going to be at the Formula One next weekend. Are you going to Formula One next weekend?
No, I actually have to move my sister home from Chicago. She's moving back to
Austin. That's not a racing driver line. No. Ryan, I'm going to Vegas to hang out and maybe throw some... we'll talk about the show. I've got a better story.
I ask Alexander Rossi when he was about your age. What do you drive every day? And he goes,
Silverado.
Silverado pickup. All right, we're out of time, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. However you did it, on the radio or on YouTube or Facebook. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Find out all about us and where you can listen to all of our stuff, podcasts and everything else. And we'll talk to you next weekend from Circuit of the Americas.
Happy trails.
Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're gonna go at these boys with some fun F1 questions. It's not often we have two young race drivers, both of them from Austin, by the way. It's really cool. But I think I want to start, Riley, you brought it up during the break. Let's start kind of at the top of the food chain here as far as the drivers and what's going on. Max, speaking of decimated, right? Max has decimated his opponent in Checo Perez. And really, I can think back, I know the moment. It was at Monaco when Checo it was just like he had a brain fart and went into the wall. And ever since then...
You can't say that on radio.
He has never recovered. And Riley, I want to get your take on what has happened to him, and can he, you know, mentally get over this? And also, what do you do if you're the team next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty difficult one, I guess, to dive into. But I mean, if I had to guess, out of all the different, I guess, dynamics that are going on within that team, it's definitely, I mean, you already touched on it. I would say it's definitely mental. The mental side of this sport is so incredibly taxing, and it's stuff that you can't even ever see or explain or really even know by watching it on TV. I mean, to your point, up until Monaco, he was giving Max, arguably everything he could handle, right? I mean, they were going back and forth, and whether it was
1-2 races.
I mean, he was very, very good on the street courses. If I remember correctly, I think he won it at Baku as was one of them, I want to say. But anyways, if I had to guess, Red Bull, within their heart of hearts, I mean, obviously, yes. Do they want to go win the championship? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, they want to have two drivers that are both competing at the top. So at the end of the day, if they're able to go 1-2 in the driver's championship, then I think that's the ultimate goal for them. If Checo is able to hold up his end of the deal towards the end of the season, as far as the, you know, second place in the driver's championship, which I have no reason to believe otherwise that he would not be able to, I think he has a seat for next year. Also, you know, a good off-season reset would be nice for him. You know, everyone's going to need a few months off within the F1 crowd. I mean, it's nonstop every single weekend for them. I would say it's the main thing for it is just the mental piece. He just probably just needs to reset. I mean, he's obviously very, very talented. We saw it at the beginning of the season. I think he keeps the seat for next year.
You know, I think you've summed it up well there. He has to finish second. Hamilton. The only you say no reason why he can't. Well, the only reason is Lewis Hamilton, and Lewis Hamilton will be trying his darndest to beat him. But I agree with you. I think Red Bull have shown in the past with Albon, with Kvyat, with how many should we go through now with Lawson, that they are willing to drop you at a moment because they have the world at their feet and they can slot. They literally can slot a new driver in Liam Lawson straight into that seat. Hey, Daniel Ricciardo. You know, I mean, it you can see the path. So it's a tough one. Another tough one as two American drivers, Logan Sargeant. I like the guy, but you know the fickle world of Formula One. Both of you, you also know just how tough it is. Certainly Ryan in single seaters and Riley, you know, it's a tough game. What do you think on balance for the future of Logan Sargeant?
Ryan, let's go to you on that one first.
I think he just needs to keep it on track. I think crashing and going off is much worse than being slow. But when you're racing for Williams who don't have, you know, a $500 million crash budget, you have to, that's just even more true, is that you just have to keep it on track, and he's not really doing that.
And I think that was Mick Schumacher's demise, really, in the end, is that Haas just sort of said, look, we can't afford this loss.
I mean, even his team is telling him, just bring it home. You don't have to be, you know, on pace with Albon. He's much more experienced, so obviously he's going to be a bit quicker. But I think he's just pushing that a little bit too hard, and he just keeps on hitting walls, which isn't really acceptable.
And you know, we've talked to James Vowles multiple times. And we've talked to him almost every week.
Chris Medlin has a really good relationship with him.
And he is, I mean, he is so upbeat about Logan every single time. And I heard a slight change in tone in the last one, but not really, not a fundamental change, almost like him admitting, okay, he's got to get this right. And I have seen the numbers, the crash numbers. There's somebody on Twitter doing something like the crash structure standings. And Logan,
deconstruction.
Deconstruction.
He's at about 3.5 million.
Yeah.
But you know, I was, funny enough, I was reminding myself of a young Max Verstappen who came in at 17 for Toro Rosso and didn't actually change the world. And I remember Christian Horner saying, "Yes, he's a diamond in the rough," and all this sort of stuff. And Sargeant is the opposite to that. Sargeant has. Yes, he's had problems, but he actually is he's much more the complete article than some of the young rookie drivers that have come in. I think of Yuki Tsunoda. I mean, to be honest, Yuki was hanging on by a thread after his first season because he was thrust in there by Honda. Now he's coming good, and I think he's well worth a bet on to stay for a long time, and they've just confirmed him, obviously, for next year. But Riley, you know, okay, what's your take on Logan? And if not Logan, who?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say anything more than what Ryan said, of course. You know, at the end of the day, in order to finish first, you have to first finish the race, right?
Yep.
It's obviously that's a bit of a harsh, I guess, comment, just because obviously, you know, all those drivers that are in F1 right now, they are clearly at the top of their game, at the top of the sport, right? So it's kind of you know, kind of a tongue-in-cheek moment to criticize really any of them, right? But, you know, I feel like that Logan, again, it's probably a mental piece as well, right? You know, him having those incidents and having, you know, just kind of that always chip on your shoulder type, I'm sure, aspect that's going on. I'm sure it's hard to get out of his head. You know, ultimately, I think if he's able to finish out the balance of the season, again, proving that he deserves to be in that car, not necessarily doing anything particularly special, but just be consistently good, right? Just consistently finish the races, consistently log the laps, consistently prove that, you know, maybe he doesn't have to be faster than Albon every single race weekend, but at least just be close, at least give something beneficial to the team, which I think he is, by the way. I definitely feel like, though, if he's able to do that consistently for the remainder of the year, I don't see any reason as to why he would not be able to stay in that seat. And quite frankly, if you have someone do go and replace him, I don't know if there's a legitimate candidate on the American side of things to replace him. I keep on hearing, obviously, the name Colton Herta. That's really kind of the only one out there, I would say. Maybe there's another one. But, I mean, for Colton, like, he already has his home in IndyCar. You know, for him to step over the pond into F1, that would be a huge undertaking. You know, I really feel like Logan, he definitely has a home if he's able to finish it out strong this year, which I think he can.
Well, guys, we've just got about 3 minutes left. First, I just want to say how proud we are of both of you guys. Austin, young drivers coming up, just doing the business. I mean, you're both, Riley, you've wrapped up your championship.
Well, this is the part of the story we wanted to have happen.
Exactly. You know, when we started the show 11, 12 years ago.
Three things.
Yeah. We got the circuit now. You know, well, let's get some an American team in Formula One, and let's get some American drivers. And you guys have, you know, in your own paths, you know, you're still on the path, Ryan. We don't know where you're going to end up. And Riley, you know, you're further down the path. And I know your goal of Porsche factory driver, which is amazing.
But by the way, if Red McCombs or anybody else is listening, you want to go to Formula One, right? I mean, Riley, I don't worry about it. He's a factory Porsche driver. He's going to be at Le Mans, you know, with Dan Gurney, the ghost of Dan Gurney in about a year's time. But you're still on that path, right?
Yeah, Formula One is my
So if you've got a couple of bill out there, Texas, come on. Come on now.
That's
Ryan Sheehan, 66, FR. Let's get some money in here for this kid.
Yeah, maybe Joe Rogan or Elon Musk are listening because they're
Sandra Bullock. Hey, you remember the movie about the football player? Let's do it again.
All right. Well, we just have about a couple minutes left. One thing I want to say is we do, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we have our broadcast this weekend, and we're going to be on the microphones out there. And if you are going to the race, always tweet at us because we're going to be watching Twitter. And so we can put you on the air, whatever comments. Yeah, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just going to say, also, for those of you who've got your tickets, Riley, what's your race number?
Number 53 for Kelly Moss.
There you go, 53
for
Kelly
Moss. Oh, the car,
man,
it's got a cool green stripe on it, right?
Yeah. Ryan Sheehan, I know, because I do his commentary on his races more often, and it's 66 for Crosslink Kiwi, right?
Yeah.
Are we in gold again?
Yeah, full gold.
I love it.
And, of course, you'll be in the car 2 weeks right after Formula One.
So that's November 5th for Ryan, and, of course, Circuit of the Americas, both events. That'll be November 3rd, 4th, and 5th for Ryan Sheehan. And, of course, Riley's going to be at the Formula One next weekend. Are you going to Formula One next weekend?
No, I actually have to move my sister home from Chicago. She's moving back to
Austin. That's not a racing driver line. No. Ryan, I'm going to Vegas to hang out and maybe throw some... we'll talk after the show. I've got a better story.
I ask Alexander Rossi when he was about your age. What do you drive every day? And he goes,
Silverado.
Silverado pickup. All right, we're out of time, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. However you did it, on the radio or on YouTube or Facebook. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Find out all about us and where you can listen to all of our stuff, podcasts and everything else. And we'll talk to you next weekend from Circuit of the Americas.
Happy trails.